Out of the 39,000 men and women who make up the United States Coast Guard, there are only 280 rescue swimmers. This is because we are the Coast Guard's elite. We are the best of the best. When storms shut down entire ports, we go out. When hurricanes ground the United States Navy, we go out. And when the Holy Lord himself reaches down from heaven and destroys his good work with winds that rip houses off the ground, we go out. And the attrition rate at this school is well over 50%. So if by some miracle you actually have what it takes to become one of us, then you get to live a life of meager pay with the distinct possibility of dying slow, cold, and alone somewhere in the vast sea. However, you also get the chance to save lives. And there is no greater calling in the world than that. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to A School.
Does that ring a bell at all? Some of you are like, yeah, that sounds awfully familiar. Just so you know, in case you weren't here or if you've forgotten, we started this year out with that clip right there. Very first Sunday of this year, I played that clip and I shared with you guys for 2010, this year that we're unfolding, that our hope, our dream, our call is to create an environment here at Mosaic Church that would help all of us walk into a process, a journey where we are becoming people that are rescue swimmers. Because rescue swimmers, generally speaking, are found in groups like this in very small pieces. 5%, 10%, 2% of a church may be those who are rescue swimmers. And we said here at our church, we want to create an environment where we are a school, where people are being changed and transformed and grown here, developed here into people that can go into that world and be rescue swimmers. This was our dream. Why? Because we knew and understood from Scripture that we have a tremendous call as Christ followers. We are called by Christ into this incredible relationship with Him. We are rescued from the dominion of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light. And in that movement into freedom, we're also given a mission. And that mission is handed to us as Christ followers. And it is not a mission for some, it is a mission for all who follow Jesus. We have sold a Christianity in the Western culture oftentimes that says you can come, follow Jesus, and then decide if you want to get involved in the mission. And that is not what the Bible talks about at all. It says when you come, you become a follower of Christ. You become an agent, a special agent for the kingdom of heaven. And you are sent back out into the world as that special agent to make change and effect change for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to do. We hear it in different forms in the Scripture. We know we're called to mission. Matthew chapter 28, what does it say? I want you, now that you've given all spiritual authority under heaven by me, Jesus says, I want you to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and inviting them into the story of the church, bringing them in to say, now you can go and change the world also. You hear James writing to us as God inspires him, saying things like this: the kind of religion that God loves is the kind of religion that takes care of the widows, the orphans, and the poor, and keeps itself from being polluted by the world. You walk into 2 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 and 18. For you are now a new creation, right? The old is gone, the new has come, and you are in Christ brand new. There it is. And then what does he say? Well, since you're new now, you are going to become ministers of reconciliation, reconciling man to God. We are always called into mission every time we are shown the beauty of being called into freedom. Galatians chapter 5, Paul starts off by saying, you have been set free for freedom's sake. There it is, you're free. But then at the end of 5 and verse 13, he says, now, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Instead, love your neighbor as yourself, for this is the greatest command. There it is again, called into mission. So we get that part, right? We get that we're called into mission. We get the fact that as Christ followers, we are literally given the privilege and designed to be equipped so that we can be called into the world, so that when everybody else is trying to get away from the storms, we are moving ourselves into them to go and rescue people in the middle of them. Storms are going to come. They're going to come into our lives. They're going to come into the lives of everyone on this planet. And we are called to be in the midst of those storms, rescuing people as they are drowning. And so, whether you see it as a rescue swimmer or a special agent sent into the world, the bottom line is that we are given the call to go and to be available to God in this world. Then each of you, and me included, are given a platform, an environment in which we can be that special agent. Some of you guys, your environment is teaching, you're a teacher. Some of you guys, it might be the law enforcement or being an attorney. Some of you guys, it might be the medical field. For some of you, it's construction. For some of you, it might be in the area of service. I mean, there's so many different ways. Real estate, you name it. You guys are all given an environment in which you've been gifted and talented to be able to do well. And God gives you that environment so that you can go and be a special agent for the gospel of Jesus Christ in that environment. That is your cover, and you're sent out to make change in the world as a fill-in-the-blank. And so there we go, right? So my job today is simple. Was simple, all right? I'm supposed to take that mission, tie you back to the mission to remind you that's why we're doing what we're doing, and lay out for you the process, the brochure, the steps that we're going to take to move you and I from where we are, wherever that is, in a progressive process so that we will become missionally-minded thinkers. So we'll live our lives missionally in the world so that we will not forget ourselves and we'll live a life that is going to change the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was my job this morning. And it's a big job because if I get this right, if we can communicate this well and you guys engage in that process, we will have a bunch of missional thinkers and we'll be able to change the world. So this was an important weekend for me. And I needed to focus and keep my head on straight. So Thursday, I get a phone call from my wife. And she says, "Hey, Renaud, listen, I just got a call from Safe Families. Safe Families is an organization around here that's created some safe families. And when a mom or a dad, single parent, or a couple find themselves in difficult times, they lose their house, they get evicted, whatever the case may be, and they've got to move into a homeless shelter for a time or try to get back on their feet for a time. Generally, they either have one option to take the kids with them into those environments, not happy environments for children, or stick their kids in foster care for a time, and that system right there is a scary system. So we've created this thing called Safe Families where in our churches, our church and a number of other churches in this local region have families that have been double-checked and triple-checked, and these parents or this parent can place their children with a family for a week, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, depending on the situation, to give them a chance to get back on their feet. So we're one of those safe families, and you know, it's a big commitment to take a two-month or a three-month chunk of time, but we've signed up, and for now, it's sort of said we're not ready to jump into that yet, but we get this phone call. Got a couple of kids. Their respite family, their safe family can start on Monday. Can you take them for a few days? Brooke calls me. She goes, can we take them for a few days? I feel like we should. I go, honey, listen, if these kids come in our home, I'm very excited about that, but just take a deep breath. We've got a pretty crazy life. The house is going to be a tornado. If you are okay with that, I'm okay with that. Because my wife loves order and chaos is not her world where she loves being, right? She goes, I'm okay with that. I said, all right, I'm okay with that then. So Thursday, we get three little children dropped off of us. We're supposed to be two. Turns into three very quickly at the front door. We're like, three? Got, okay, done. Yep. And so we got a five-year-old little boy and 2 3-year-old little girl twins. Beautiful little kids, right? They come in our home. And starting on Thursday evening, the journey began with these children, right? So this is my big weekend. Got to focus. Got to keep everything straight. I had a plan. It was awesome, right? My kids were going to swim a lot, and I was going to work a lot. And then these children entered the story. And when they came in, boy, what do little kids do when they come in your home? And it's a brand new environment. They find every toy in every box, and they pull it out. And then they see if it can break. Several of them can break, actually. We know that now because many of them did, right? So that happens. And then on top of that, as the chaos unfolds, they're coming from environments where it's very different from our environment. So the way that they handle life's different than the way that we're used to handling life. You know, Brooke spent years from the time our children were born put away what you take out. That's not the case with these. So we start spending that time of, you can't really discipline, but you got to kind of let go. So that starts unfolding. And then on top of that unfolding, we had the wonder of the sleeping environment. You see, nights are a great time for me to work. So my kids go to bed at 8:30. They go to sleep. We've trained them well to get in their beds and go to sleep. We love them. And these little guys, they don't function that way. So I found myself suddenly back in the world where I'm laying on a floor at night with a pillow going, shh, shh, hey, stop talking, shh, shh, put your head back down, hey, stop talking. You're back there till 9:30, 9:45, 10, 10:15, you know, that whole deal. Oh, and yes, the diapers, forgot about those. See, my 3.5-year-old's past that stage. I remember now how much I hate changing diapers. And between those 2 3-year-old twins, man, can they work the action. Wow! I've forgotten how often that can happen. We were changing diapers all weekend long. So all that's in my home, all that's happening. Wait, watch this. Here's the best part. So Superman, right? Superman came out 2 years ago or so, the new one. I've been longing to have my son, Cullen, 8 years old, watch Superman because I want to get him into that. It's awesome, right? I love Superman. Unfortunately, this particular Superman movie, they decided to go ahead and put one word in there that is not appropriate at all for my 8-year-old, all right? It's not a big one. It's a little one, and it goes by really fast, but it's there, and I've been waiting. Like, should I open that can of worms with him or not? I don't know, you know. Our children are pretty protected from that environment. At this point, Cullen and I can watch The Godfather. It won't matter. Because what I've experienced in my home in the last 4 days is in The Godfather. I mean, wow. I mean, it was extraordinary to watch. Not all the time, but I would come down into the kitchen and a little 3-year-old girl is saying to my little 3-year-old boy some things. And my little 3-year-old boy is articulating back to that little 3-year-old girl. And I'm going, I haven't heard that in a very long time. Wow, I don't even know if I should go there at this point, right? So this is all unfolding in my house. And I'm watching this unfold before me, and I'm thinking to myself the whole time, wow, there's a lot to focus on in here. Pool fences are back up, things are being protected, stuff's happening, and these little children are trying to function in the middle of this world. So last night, Saturday night, right? It's coming down to the wire now. Got the big brochure to unfold. The whole team here has been working for months to get this ready. Renaud, this is the big Sunday. You got to deliver. And I'm laying on the floor in my daughter's bedroom about 9:30 last night. And those kids aren't going to sleep. I mean, they're not. It's not happening tonight. Two little twins are fighting with each other. And the little boy's doing his thing. And just like my kids would do, no different. They're just not used to the schedule. So I'm laying on the floor. And I'm and I'm watching the clock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. It's clicking away, man. 9:30, 9:40, 9:50. I'm thinking about different medications I might be able to use. I'm not sure. Right? All these things are going through my head. And finally, I go to my last resort. God, please put them to sleep. Please. I need time to work on the message that I need to deliver tomorrow. Literally, I whispered the words, God, please have them fall asleep. You know I need to work on the message. And in that single second, God responds. And he responded to me this way. Wake up, Bruno. Wake up. Look around. Open your eyes, man. You have no message to work on. The message is right here in the room, on the floor, while you're laying here. Can't you see it? Don't you notice what you're missing because you're caught up in the brochure again? I laid on the floor and I started thinking to myself, God, what are you saying? He goes, look harder at these children. And suddenly there in that bed was laying a little 5-year-old boy. He's in an environment he doesn't understand, with a family he doesn't know, with a mom he doesn't think or believe he'll ever see again. He's just trying to figure out what on earth all this means, and he's 5. And he hasn't had the privileges and the opportunities you and I get take for granted so many times, the resources that are at our disposal to do whatever we need to do, the people we know, the things we get to be part of. He's just a little 5-year-old boy in a bed trying to figure out what on earth is going on in his life. And what he needs more than anything else is just to know that somebody loves him. And right next to him are 2 little 3-year-old girls. And they don't know what's happening. They call Brooke mommy because they don't know anything else. They call me daddy because my kids are calling me daddy, so they don't know. And they're with me for a few days before they move on to another place with another family, and who knows what they'll experience again. And laying in that bed, the last thing they need is for me to be thinking, please fall asleep. They need me to be thinking, stay awake, so I can have more time. More time to tell you how loved you are, how beautiful you are, and how much you matter. And in that moment, I thought, I don't want these kids to leave. I've only had a few days with them. I've only just begun to figure out what it's going to take to show them how loved they are. And now they're leaving on Monday. I don't want that to even happen. And I'm calculating ways in my head to try to figure out how to stay in touch and do this and talk to the mom, and all that begins to happen. And God whispers to me and says, Renaud, do you see? Do you see the call I've given you? The call I've laid on your life is to walk into the lives of people and their storms and to love them. And if you think that's going to be easy, think again. That is hard. It costs you. Your kids are exposed to all sorts of craziness. Your house is torn apart. Your world is chaos, and you don't get to do the things you want to do. Yes, that's true. It is never easy to live missionally. But if we simply say, because it's hard, we won't, we totally miss the point. We are called to be rescue swimmers. Whoever said it was going to be easy to fly into a storm, jump into an ocean, and swim through massive waves? Nobody said it was easy. And the Christianity we have sold the Western culture is a Christianity that says you can get called into freedom with Jesus and then decide if you want to do something about it. That is not the Christianity of the Bible. The Christianity of the Bible calls us out to be world changers as we are agents for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it tells us it is going to be hard. So, on that floor, laying there, that little brochure that I was about to unpack for you this morning as a process to get you from square one to missional thinking and release you into the world, suddenly got a lot bigger. It suddenly expanded beyond anything I could have imagined. And God said, this brochure, this process is not simply about creating missionally minded thinkers. It is another question that is just as critical. The question is not simply, how do I become missional? But the bigger question is, once I'm missional, how do I sustain missional living? Because if you think you're going to become missional and then you're just going to live it out and be fine, think again. It's going to burn you out. It's going to suck you dry. It'll leave you dead. If you swim into the storms day after day and there's no rest and no place to be equipped and poured into, you will drown with the rest of the people you're trying to rescue. And the rescue swimmers will have to come out and rescue you. And that's not what we want. I don't want to create a world here where we create a bunch of rescue swimmers only to send them out and drown. And so suddenly I looked at the brochure and I went, wow, this is much more than getting us there. It's keeping us there. So let me take a few minutes and open that brochure up to you and show you where this process takes us and show you what God is up to here and ask you, invite you, challenge you to jump into the process with us so that we can live this life out in such a way that the world is forever changed from the little three-year-olds in my house right now to the globe around us. Everywhere that we can make an impact. Right now, there's a bunch of people that are going to walk around and hand out brochures to you. We have to take the time to hand these brochures out instead of handing them out the door, because I knew what would happen if I give them to you before you came in here. You'd sit reading them while I was talking, and I ain't going to tolerate that. So I'm giving them to you now so you couldn't read them while I was talking. Okay, there it is. Okay, so grab your brochures. As you do, take a look up here on the screen. This is the front page of the brochure. On the front page, there are two words. It simply says, Beyond Sunday. Why does it say Beyond Sunday on the front of this brochure? That's not by accident. We are trying to make a very distinct point with this opening statement, right? Look around for a second. Are we living missionally right now? Are we engaging in each other's lives and stepping into each other's storms? No! Why not? Because we're here, sitting in a chair, listening to Renaud. Sundays is not the place where missional living is expressed in its purest form. It is simply a place we come together. If you want to live missionally and experience this process, It will have to go beyond Sunday for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It will have to go beyond Sunday. If Sunday is all you do, you will not get into this process properly. So, beyond Sunday, in a world that has told us that going to church means showing up on Sunday, we are here to tell you that is incorrect information. Sunday is just the beginning. Let's take a look. Open up the brochure to the middle, all the way like that. Opens up to the middle. On the screen, you can see this too, so you can look up or look down. It's up to you. Here's how it begins, all right? You guys know our goal here is singular. To love God, to love people, and to serve the world. That's what we want to be about. That's what we are helping you live out. That's what I am trying to live out. And to get there, we have to start somewhere. So we start with relational ministry, relational connection. That's the bottom step. You see the steps going up. Relational connection. What is relational connection, and why do we start there? Let me make it very simple for you, right? If you have no relational connection with God and no relational connection with the body of Christ, you will not be able to progress into transformational and missional living as the Bible lays it out. It requires relational connection in order to move forward. So it's got to start there. If you come to Mosaic Church and you know nobody and there's no friends here and you're connected to nobody here, I can tell you right now, transformational living in our context is impossible. You cannot live transformationally without the community around you. So if this is going to be that community, you got to have relational connection. That's got to be where it starts, all right? So it begins here. Elementary relational connection, the word relational, there it is. And how do we experience elementary relational connection? We've created two places for you to do that. The first is our gatherings and the second is our events. That's it, all right? Now you may say, what on earth is a gathering? Well, guess what? I got good news for you. You're already doing it. How do I know? Because this is one of them. You're at a gathering. So you've already accomplished step one on the steps. You're part of a gathering. And when you come to a gathering, that is any one of the places where we come together as a group of people to worship God corporately, to hear from His Word, and to study His Word together in this environment, those places, when you come to them, they are designed for relational connection with God and relational connection with each other on an elementary level. It just gives you the starting point, the basics, right? And our events are designed for you to share your stories with others and their stories with you as you hang out at an event, and so God works through us in each other's lives. But it is purely an elementary relational connection. At Mosaic Church, if all you are looking for is basic relational connection with God and each other, then come to gatherings and events and do nothing else here, because that's what you will experience. And some of you, I say that seriously in this sense. For some of you here, you are already experiencing transformational living in some other context and missional expression in some other context. This is just your place to get that elementary relational connection. I'm fine with that. But just understand then, when you come to only a Sunday morning or only events or only a combination of the gatherings that we have here, you will only experience Mosaic at an elementary relational level. That's it. And if that's all you need, great. If you want more than that, you've got to take the next step. And the next step moves from elementary relational connection into transformational living. Now, when you step into transformational living, does relational connection end? Do you move on from relational connection? No, of course not. That's just relational connection on steroids, man. I mean, that blows it out of the water. You go from elementary relational connection to deep relational connection, but you add into the mix transformational living. And transformational living takes place in our groups. That's where it happens. We're keeping this very simple, guys, because regardless of where you are in your journey, regardless of where you are in life, older or younger, married or not, all those different things, child or parent, this should be elementary to all of us. Relational connection through our gatherings and events. Get into a group in order to experience transformational living. Transformational living happens when there's a group of people that are taking what is being experienced in that elementary relational connection and working with it so that it becomes real to you, so that it becomes a change agent in your heart. The truth begins to shape you. There are three ways that you can connect to groups. If you close your brochure with one sort like that, the groups are right here. Do you see them right there? And that's the page you're looking at right now, the groups page. There are three types of groups here. We've kept this as simple as we can, so you don't have to wonder, what group do I join? I don't know. There's so many. Here's the deal. There are three types of groups: life groups, life studies, and lifelines. That's it. Nothing else, nothing more. We are not asking you to join all three types. We're asking you to pick a group and get involved in it if you want to step into transformational living here. The groups are designed as follows. Life groups, very simply. They meet together in homes. They meet throughout the year. And in a life group, you get to discuss what is preached on a Sunday in a smaller setting. You get to unpack it, and you get to talk about how it affects your world directly and the world of the other few people in that home. And you get challenged into living it out during the week. That's a life group. That's it. We currently call them our home groups. We are switching that to simply calling them our life groups. A life group is going to grow, and eventually it is going to multiply, and so life groups are ever-changing, but they keep going. And you can get into one and stay as long as you want, or leave when you need to, whatever the case may be, but they are consistent. Our life studies have a different kind of focus. They happen two semesters of the year. They run 10 to 12 weeks, sometimes 14, sometimes not 8, but around that 10 to 12 weeks stage, we are selecting particular topics of study that deal with your everyday life. It might be in the area of finances, in the area of marriage, in the area of parenting. It might be in the area of growing in your knowledge of the Bible, in Bible studies, in how to, all those different things. We're figuring out strategically, and we're still working on this, what areas of your life and mine we constantly need equipping in, and we're going to produce life studies that allow you to pick and say, I need to work on my fill in the blank. There's a life study to help you do it. And the life studies run a short period of time so that if you are in a life group, you might be able to disengage for a few weeks, do a life study, and then jump back into your life. You see what I'm saying? The life groups are sort of the ongoing deal. The life studies give you focal points. Boom, 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 boom. Then the life lines are very simple. For some of us here, in fact, for many of us here, possibly all of us, there are things in our life, habits we have, secrets we keep, ways we live, things we struggle with, the things behind the brochure, right? And even in a life group or in a life study, we're not comfortable bringing those to bear in front of the group. So we created our lifelines. These are not for those of you that are in desperate crisis and the rest of us are fine. It is for those people, but it's for all of us in this sense, that if there are things in your life you're not comfortable releasing into the group yet, these are one-on-one relationships with trained biblical counselors, that is lay people that have studied and directed themselves, trained themselves over the last year to be able to sit with you and talk with you and walk with you through a very particular process. We're using the Freedom in Christ stuff. The Freedom in Christ stuff came to us from a ministry where Neil Anderson took the time to say, if we can show people who they are in Christ, it sets them free from so many things. And so this is just a study that walks you through who you are in Christ and helps you overcome some of the things. There are books that go with that and materials that go with that that are fantastic. The lifelines are for you to step into to say, I need that extra step to be able to release some things so I can step into community as the whole. And those are the three options, guys: lifelines, life studies, or life groups. They are those three. You pick one, you get into it, and you run with it. And when you do, every life group leader, every life study leader, every lifeline leader, all of them are trained to think the same way. The life groups are the place where transformation begins to take place in the hearts of the people so that they will become missionally minded people. So, if you're in a life group or a life study or a lifeline, you will also be engaging in missions in some way, in missional living in some way, because your group's going to do that. And then they'll be challenging you to do the same thing in your environments. So, you started relationally connecting, gatherings and events. You stepped into a group, and now you're inundated in a group with people around you that are challenged by the same things you are and feeding into you and sharing with you, and you're sharing with them, and transformation starts taking place. You're joining some life studies to focus your energies, and before you know it, you are starting to live out missionally. How do you express missional living here at Mosaic Church? Very simple. Missional living happens in three areas. The first area, and these are not in priority, they're just simply three areas. The first area is inside the walls of our church. There are areas in this wall where you can express yourself missionally. You can become a volunteer in the children's ministry, the student ministries, the coffee bar, the hospitality ministry. You can lead a life group. You can step and be a host family. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can engage inside the walls in missional living. And those are our ministry teams. You can join a ministry team here. The second option is the local impact teams or a local ministry. And as you walk out of the doors here, you walk into a neighborhood, right? You walk into an area. There is the neighborhood we live in as a church, that's Oakland. But there's also, guess what, you ready for this? All of the local areas you live in. You guys go to work, don't you? You go to social places, don't you? You go to your homes, don't you? You live in neighborhoods, don't you? Those are your mission field if you see and recognize what it means to be a missionally minded person. And so, just like I taught in the beginning, as an agent for the kingdom of God, you go into your workplace, you go into your neighborhood, you go into your home, and you become the light and salt that God's called you to become in those places. And so we have a local arena in which I want you to engage missionally. And then we have a global arena. We're called to go and make disciples of all nations. And so we're called into the world, and I want you to engage globally. Now, do I want you to do all three? Well, the answer is ultimately yes. I want you in some way to be engaged all three, but some of you are going to have a particular calling to the global environment, and that's going to be where you're going to be called and trained and pushed. Some of you are going to have a particular calling to the local environment and some to inside the walls. You should be engaged in all three on some level, but you should be focused on one. And so we're called into missional living in that arena. And then we find ourselves these missional people. Now, that's the process, right? Start relationally, move into transformation, jump into missional living. There it is. So you go relational connection, transformational living, missional expression. There it is. That's the process. But here's where it gets really big. You ready? Once you are a missionally minded person living out the mission, I promise you it's going to get hard. I promise you it's going to get tiring. I promise you it's going to drain you. It is going to cost you in the areas of your marriage, in the areas of your parenting and family, in the areas of your workplace, in the areas of your heart, your energies. It's going to cost you. If you don't think it is, think again. And if you are of the mindset that you have ticked off relational connection off your list, moved on to transformational living, you've ticked that off your list, now you are a missionally minded person and you engage in missional living and you no longer need to be transformationally living out there and no longer need to be relationally connected, I promise you, you will burn out. And when you do, we will have to come and rescue you. We would rather have you engaged in relational connection and missional thinking convertibles. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just kidding. Okay. Sorry, I just had the thought. It's raining and there's a lot of windows open right now. So, okay, here we go. Stick with me now. We're almost there. This is not going to end here, okay? Because this is it. This is the big moment, okay? Watch. If you're a missionally minded thinker, by definition, you are going to make sure you continually stay engaged in relational connection and transformational living. Why? Because you know that if you don't, you will forget yourself as an agent of the gospel and you will think suddenly that you are a teacher or a businessman or woman or a contractor or a real estate agent. And you're not. You're an agent of the gospel and that's your platform, but you will forget that. And you will forget the cost that everyone's paying around you if you're not constantly engaged in relational connection and transformational living. So this brochure is not simply a stepping stone process to mark off your list. It is a continual circle that constantly calls you back into all three of these things so that you can continue to sustain a missional lifestyle because people are pouring into you. Is this our idea? Is this what we thought was a great way to get you involved? Let me show you something, all right? This is where we come to its close. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews or just listen in. It's got one quick verse, so you can just listen. But in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, the author of Hebrews is writing here, and he literally writes down, I think he saw our brochure. That's what I think, okay? And so he wrote this for me. Right here to give to you. I'm just kidding. This was already in the Bible before we wrote the brochure. Here it is, okay? Hebrews chapter 10, page 834, if you're interested in our Bibles. Let's go to verse 23. Okay? Verse 23, it says this. Listen to these words. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let me read that again. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Where does this start? It says, listen, folks, when you get out there into the big world, or when the big world comes into your home, you hold on unswervingly to the faith, to the hope that you hold on to. Why? Because the one who gave you that hope fulfills his promises, right? But it doesn't stop there. Watch this. The very next verse. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. There it is. Look what's happened now. I want you, when you live in the world, to live unswervingly in the hope that you have. But it doesn't stop there. Let us, in transformational living, continue to figure out ways to encourage one another into what? Love and good deeds. If you are in a group in our church, that group leader is called to one thing, to spur that group on to love and good deeds. That's it. There it is. To help develop you to be a better missionally minded person who lives out love and good deeds. There it is. And it says here, if you're going to live unswervingly, make sure you're constantly figuring out how to spur each other on, because otherwise you will burn out. Watch this. It doesn't stop there. Verse 25, the very next verse. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see it? He ends it right there. He goes, listen, I want you to live unswervingly, uncompromisingly in the world. I want you to take care of the widows, the orphans, and the poor. I want you not to be polluted by the world. I want you to live out the mission I've given you. Do it! But just make sure, if you're doing that, that you do not stop encouraging each other regularly and spurring each other on to good works and to living in love. That's going to have to be transformational living constantly. And if that's going to happen, whatever you do, don't stop meeting together, because that's where it all begins, relational connection. And if you're meeting together regularly and you are encouraging each other in transformational living and you are living missionally, I promise you the world will change. I promise you. It'll change inside our church, it'll change in our local community, and it will change around the world. So, here's the deal. Here at Mosaic Church, we want to shove everyone into the incredible honor and freedom of what it is like to live out a missional lifestyle, because Jesus has become our focal point. And to get there, there's going to be relational connection that needs to happen and transformational living that needs to happen and needs to continue. And we're going to sustain that missional living by being involved in each other's lives. What this brochure should do for you is very simple. You know how to connect relationally around here. Be at our gatherings. Be at our events. You know how to live in transformational living. Join a group. And in that group, when you have the opportunity and the heart to express yourself missionally, do it either inside the walls, in your local environment, or in the global environment. Sponsor a kid globally. Go to work with a new mission. Get involved in the church here somehow. You figure it out. We'll give you plenty of opportunities. But it's not complicated. And this brochure gives you the layout. And if this happens to be your very first time at Mosaic Church, on the back of the brochure, it says chapter 1. The chapter 1 is for those people who are new to Mosaic and don't know this brochure. And so they get to go one Sunday a month, the third Sunday of every month, starting in September, to a one-hour little time to meet the staff and to have explained to them the heart, passions, and story of Mosaic Church and how this process leads us all there together. Well, guess what? If you're new to Mosaic, and for this, as far as this brochure is concerned, that would be all of you. You just had your chapter 1 class. Isn't this exciting? You just found out you've already fulfilled the first step, gatherings, and you've already fulfilled the last step, the chapter 1. What more is there? Join a group. Get involved in missional living. There it is, okay? So, guys, let's live this out. Let's spur each other on. Let's change the world. Let's be rescue swimmers. And we're going to do it together if we engage in relational connection and transformational living, so that we will have missional expression. Let's pray.